at Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. It's a librarian's dream to start a big, brand new institution with lots of financial backing. Dallas Long of ISU's Milner Library recently had that experience in the Gulf state of Qatar. Long tells GLT's Charlie Schlenker he's been on the Fulbright roster for about 5 years. It's a list of people and skill sets or academic specialties available for special projects. Long says this project was the startup of the National Library of Qatar.
The National Library is brand new. It was not yet open to the public, and they had about 120 library staff members, most of whom have never had any professional experience in a library before. Qatar is a small, young country. It does not have a robust library network, and so there isn't a lot of opportunity for librarians to have professional experience or training. So a lot of the staff were hired pretty much in off the street and didn't necessarily know what to expect, didn't know the values and the traditions associated with librarianship. So I went over there and worked specifically with their, they call it the Access Services Department. And these are the staff members that are responsible for library circulation and interlibrary loan. They tend to manage the space when the library is open. Handle first-line questions and then refer more complicated questions to the reference librarians. They tend to handle complaints from users, look for lost books, contact other libraries when the library itself doesn't own a copy, and see what other libraries might be able to lend a copy to their patrons.
Most librarians in the United States have a huge sense of mission, because they're certainly not doing it for the paycheck. With new librarians in Qatar, you would expect that sense of mission to be less. Was that part of your mission as well, is to bring those values to them?
Yes. For American librarians, it is certainly a vocation. And in Qatar, they have different traditions. So they don't have a lot of experience with customer service, for instance. And the service ethos is certainly one of the foundational values of American librarianship. The reason we're there is to help people identify and find and meet their information needs. And they found that challenging, I think, in Qatar, to serve different peoples when they have a tradition of being a very wealthy oil country, and they import a lot of their labor to do a lot of the customer service associated tasks. So for Qatari librarians to be out on the public floor, communicating with people, interviewing them about what their information needs are, and then retrieving materials, while I think they were engaged and excited to do it, it was not a skill that necessarily came easily to them. And some of the staff did want to kind of outsource some of those tasks or experiences to lower level library staff, and I had to do a lot of training with them and say, no, this is the purpose of
everyone's
department.
In.
Yeah.
How long were you there, and did you see the culture begin to take root?
I was there for 4 weeks, and I would say, as the library got closer to the date of its grand opening, the level of enthusiasm in the library was very infectious. And while they were still not totally sure what they would expect when the doors opened for the first time or who their patrons would be, they were very excited to be playing a strong role in the country's identity and being at the forefront of the development of library services in this Persian Gulf state. So I think I was beginning to see some of these changes take root, and I'm really excited to hear really how the country's going to respond to their first national library, and how the mission of their library might change as more Qatari people come to the library for reading materials, for research needs, for literacy lessons with their children. So not only was this going to be the first national library where it would collect cultural materials related to the country's history and culture, but it was also going to serve as the first large public library in the nation as well.
With that lack of a tradition, not only in library staff, but in the public, will there be public use of it? What will the public use be like if it's not if people aren't expecting the same role as they would expect in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they were not totally sure what to expect. One of the challenges I think they are going to face is probably 75% of the materials they're collecting in the library are published in English. And that is not the first language of the Qatari people, which is Arabic. And there are not a lot of Arabic language publishers of popular reading materials. And so there isn't a culture of reading in the state of Qatar. So I think they were not totally sure what they were going to expect. I think they anticipated they would have a lot of younger users of the library who are more fluent in English and are eager to play a role in the world stage and are going to be hungry for English language materials, but also just to be a part of learning and a part of that new culture.
If its primary patronage is going to be from people who speak English, you are talking elites there, mm-hmm. which sort of undercuts the idea of a public library. How can it be brought more in line, or is that even a goal, to bring it more in line with the values of public librarianship?
Well, I think their culture is fundamentally different than ours. I would say that almost the entirety of the Qatari people are, in fact, the elites. They receive allowances from the government that allow them to not work if they choose not to. A lot of the lifestyle is very upper middle class in Qatar and heavily subsidized by the royal family because of their oil-rich nation. They do have a large labor force that is largely guest workers from India, Nepal, Bangladesh, and the Philippines. But these are also countries where English is a common language in those nations. So even the guest workers who might be using the library and might have lower levels of education, they do speak English, and they're also coming from cultures where there's a strong tradition of public libraries. So those individuals are likely to be more familiar with the services and mission of a public library.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Dallas Long of the ISU's Milner Library. What are the Qataris buying, acquiring for this library? You mentioned most of it's in English, but what's it look like?
It was all sorts of materials. So the National Library is really trying to play a triple role in the country. So not only collecting manuscripts, maps, documents, medieval materials that relate to the history of not only the state of Qatar, but the Middle East region and the history of Islam, but they're also collecting materials of a research purpose because they want to raise the profile of research expectations in the country. And the libraries associated with the few universities in the state of Qatar are relatively small and narrowly focused. So they're purchasing a lot of materials that you would find here at Milner Library at Illinois State University. So a lot of research materials and textbooks that are related to undergraduate education, as well as more in-depth research materials that faculty and researchers might use to explore their own research. And in terms of the public library context, they're purchasing a lot of materials related to consumer health, genre fiction. So you're seeing a lot of romance novels, science fiction, graphic novels for young adults, and a lot of children's materials for their children's library as well.
How do acquisition parameters differ in light of the culture in the Arabian Peninsula?
Well, both the method of acquiring materials is different than in the United States. So not only do they contract with publishing companies to receive new publications like we do here in the United States, they're actively going to other countries and going to book fairs and visiting small publishing houses and vendors, particularly in Egypt and in Jordan, which is where many of the publishers of Arabic language materials are located. So they're definitely making buying trips that's taking them abroad. But in terms of the content of the materials they're purchasing, they do have to be very careful. Qatar is a conservative Islamic country, and the values are simply different. So they are having to review the content of the materials that they purchase to decide whether it's appropriate or culturally sensitive to put out on the open shelves. And some materials they decide are perhaps too sexual in nature or contradict the cultural mores of the country. And these materials they're putting in closed stacks where the patrons have to locate the materials in the online catalog and specifically request those materials from the librarian.
Okay. Why would they even buy romance novels then?
Oh, I think there's probably still a market for those even in Qatar.
Okay. You keep talking about how different the culture is. What were some, do you have some stories about how you had an aha moment or you were brought face to face with those differences that illuminated your own preconceptions as well as theirs?
Well, I think in the library context, it was very surprising to me to see the reference librarians physically taking materials from the shelves and reviewing them to find any kind of sexual content. And sometimes it could be something rather minor. For instance, there's an image on the book cover of two people kissing, and this was considered highly inappropriate in Qatari culture. And that might be enough to make that book removed from the shelf and put into their closed stacks environment. But I certainly saw that playing out in the cultural life of the country as well. So walking through the streets, spending time at the cafes and the medieval market, you didn't see the genders necessarily interacting. And there was no public display of affection, even between married couples.
Did that cause you some cognitive dissonance? Because an American librarian's one of the core values is that information must be free and that the user should determine the use.
Certainly that gave me a lot of pause and some discomfort because it really contradicts what American librarians proselytize in intellectual freedom. But I had to remind myself that this is a different culture with different values. It's also not a democracy. It is a monarchy. And I had to be much more sensitive to how librarians approach their work in that country.
Okay. Gotta ask. Oil rich, what's the building like?
It is a phenomenally beautiful building. It was built by a famous Dutch architect. I cannot recall his name, but he also did the designs for the Seattle Public Library, which is considered one of the most architecturally beautiful and significant public libraries in the United States. And the Qatar National Library is almost entirely marble. And it is silver and gleaming and just a beautiful, stunning work of art. So even though the Qatari people may not have a culture of libraries and a culture of reading, I think they'll be drawn to the aesthetic beauty of the building itself and will certainly make use of it.
Did they also spend on online resources? Given the fact that it's a conservative culture, you might expect them to put filters on or to restrict access.
They certainly were spending quite a bit of money on electronic resources. They wanted this to be a showcase library, both virtually and physically. So they had rather robust subscriptions to electronic databases and journals, particularly for research. They were also collecting e-books, both for popular reading material and for academic purposes. And they were struggling a bit with how to evaluate electronic resources and decide whether they could police any of that content or not. And I think they were coming to the conclusion that policing electronic content is much more tricky. They were creating filters where children under the 18 didn't necessarily have access to the electronic resources unless parents provided their explicit permission.
The information era and technology has begun to shift the role of U.S. libraries to raise the traditional library as public meeting space and cultural gathering space to maybe a higher proportion here in the U.S. Is that true also of this library? Do they expect it to be a gathering place, a community space?
Absolutely. And that was one of the core tenets of how they designed the library and the types of technologies and spaces that they put into this. They really see it playing a significant role in the cultural sphere of the country. Perhaps surprising to me was that they had a very large performance space in the middle of the library with an auditorium with tiered seating. And the library had contracted with the Qatar Philharmonic Orchestra to do weekly performances on Friday nights at the library. They also have a cafe and a signature restaurant whose cuisine and menu was selected by the Queen Mother of the country. So they are definitely anticipating that the National Library is going to be a social destination.
Dallas Long, an associate dean at ISU's Milner Library, speaking with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. He says the Qatar National Library also includes maker spaces and a 3D printing lab connecting to the campuses of Education City, where the library is located.